appreciation for that we do have. Many times our minds are occupied with getting more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, or something else, or more, and never taking the time to be appreciative of what we have. Many times we got to think about what we have, and when God presents it to us in the Word of God, that I can live my life knowing that the penalty of sin is not on me. I don't have to pay that. And sometimes if I can only think about that with whatever else that seems to bombard my mind, sometimes it can free me. Because in the end, I win. Like Ashburn used to say, he said, "Rick, Pastor, someday payday. But I'm glad when that payday comes, it has that my bill has already been paid." I got stuck right there, but I just thinking, you know, the penalty of sin and the power of sin. You know, it may seem as though that we are slaves to sin, but we are not. Sin cannot have the dominion over us unless we let it. Now, I'm talking about the believers now. You have no choice when you're not born again. You have no choice. But not only are we saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, we are also will be saved from the very presence of sin. See, one of the things, let me read this before I go on. I tell you, just the thought of my God, I tell you. The Christ who was born in Bethlehem came to save us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and ultimately from the presence of sin. As believers, we can speak of salvation in three tenses. One, you can say, "I was saved from the penalty of sin." You need to get that fact down. You need to get that. So when people talk about hell, talk about the second death, the lake of fire, and all those kind of things that people may talk about, and someday payday, you can have comfort in knowing that that's taken care of. I was saved from the penalty of sin when I first trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not working or trying to live right to pay for that penalty. Let's get that straight. That's not what that's for, because that is of grace. We're living right to honor God, to be Christ-like. That's what you're doing. You're not doing it for the pay for anything. Let's get that straight, because it was paid in full. There's nothing else, June, left to be paid. See, if you say that, if I tell you, I say, "June, I got a bill," and you say, "Pastor Rick, don't worry about it, I'm going to go pay it for you." And you go ask the man, say, "How much do he owe you?" And they tell you what I owe you. And you, bam, pay it all. Huh? So it's paid in full. But let me move on. Some kind of way I'm seeming to be stuck right here. And number two, now this is the key. Now get this now. We are already squared away with the penalty. Now, but we can also say this once you've received Christ as your Savior. I am in process. Okay, this is the second part. I am in process of being saved from the practice of sin. And we confuse those two. That's what happens sometimes. Because there's a little practicing of sin. You know you got saved. But then your walk don't seem to be perfect. Well, you are in that. That is a process of sanctification that you are working in. That's a process. And let me say this. Man. Why is a process? Because you are living in a sin-cursed world whose God is Satan. And the system is set up for decay. It's set up for evil. It's set up for sin. And you're living in it. And God did not eradicate your old nature. And I love it this because that's why I don't like to listen to people. I like to listen to the word of God. God tells me that there's a war going on inside of me with the flesh and the spirit. The Holy Spirit is all holy. You see, and if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. Now, I know I'm His because I receive Him, Sheila. So, therefore, I have the Holy Ghost. See, I can't say I'm God and I'm tearing for the Holy Ghost. See, you can't be waiting for the Holy Ghost and say, I'm saved, but I don't have the Holy Ghost. You see, that doesn't make any sense, but people teach and preach that. Because they don't have an understanding. If you have not the Holy Ghost, you can't say you're saved. You can't say you're born again. But I'm being saved from the practice of sin. When I would do good, evil is always present. But when you get an understanding of this thing, there's a lot of weight you can take off of yourself, and you will not allow other people to put on you, and also you can help others with the struggle of sin. You see some things in your life that you repeat, you know it's sin. Don't nobody have to tell you. You know that. But you do it anyway. Can you talk back to me or am I off? And see, Danny, all this information is in the book. But when people tell it wrong and tell the story wrong, you mess me all up. And I'm sitting there saying, I can't do all that. I'm not doing all of that. But I'm listening to what you are saying. Not knowing what you are saying is error. See, you didn't tell me I'm being saved. You told me once I got saved, I got the whole packet. Saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. They didn't tell me many feelings, but one indwelling. Come on, somebody. Ignorance of this salvation can hurt you. What you don't know won't hurt you. Yes, it will hurt you. You better get this. Paul said, brother and sister, we will not have you to be ignorant. Uninformed. There's some info out here that we need, some information. You got certain situations going on, you need some information. You got financial situations going on, you need to talk to somebody that know about finances. Budgeting. Sick, you need a doctor. Don't sit there and go to the doctor. Feet swelling up. You're looking like you're about to faint. Pastor, lay hands on me. I'm going to pray for you and the doctor as we're calling the doctor to take you away from here. And did you take your medicine this morning? Well, I'm trusting God. Where do you think they get the medicine from? The herbs. Who created those? The brain intelligence that God has given the doctors. Who do you think gave them that brain? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Yeah. Ha! I think I'm going to preach myself happy. Y'all talking about my birthday. I ain't stopped preaching yet. Yes. And my wife keeps laughing at me. I don't know, I like to preach myself. Yeah, yes, sir. Okay. But this is some good stuff. Because there's a lot of, and I'm going to look at some other places. There's a lot of stuff folk talk. I didn't know. I didn't know about, I didn't go to church. I don't know nothing about no religious stuff. You tell me, and it sounds, I don't know. Oh, but when I begin to read for myself, when I begin, wait a minute, you never told me about a second death. All I heard, everybody going to die, whether you're a Christian or a drunk, you're going to die. Yeah, but everybody ain't going to die twice. What you talking about? It's in the same Bible you talk, what you quote to me. Y'all done heard a lot of folk. Say, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. Okay, what you just said? Always feel. That's the way they sound. And that's what they mean. And they also mean when they say that I am practicing a holy life. I'm walking a holy lifestyle. Okay, I'm not, what I'm saying with that, now you got to understand, you may be doing better than some folk in your church with your lifestyle, your walk of holiness, but it's not perfection. Okay, see, because all of us are imperfect. And as long as you have not come to the point of consummation, the final, the ultimate stage, there's some, and it's right here in the Word of God, and some of us don't know there's another stage. That's why there are three tenths of salvation. Some things I can say I got right now, and I want to know what I got right now. So if you hit one of those things about me, that's a process. I need to know which one you hit me with, Danny. And I can tell you, but Danny, that is a process. I don't have my new body. Some things come with my new body. Some things come when I begin to look like Christ. Don't know what he's going to look like, but I'm going to look like him one day. And right now, God is pruning me. He's working with me. Huh? He's chasing me when he needs to. He's tapping me on the show when I need to. No, don't keep doing this when you know better. Now, you may not be right now all that I want you to be, but you've been saved too long, you've been eating at my table too long to still be what you used to be. It should be some signs of growth. Some signs of growth. And if there's a special area that you need that growth in, you may need to get a little bit more prayer for that particular area. Because it's not that God don't expect us to grow. That's not what I'm saying. But he has set it up with a process. In the three tenths. I gave you two tenths, didn't I? Did I give you two? First, I was saved from the penalty of sin when I first trusted Christ as my Savior. I am in a process of being saved from the practice of sin. And someday, I will be saved from the very presence of sin. God is a good God. Oh, man. I tell you, I don't know. Let me do it this way. I'm going to just do it as God just give it to me. Let's look at, hey, Steve, did you put 1 Corinthians 15:3 on the board? Do you have it all set up for me? If not, we can go and look at it. I tell you, I appreciate your help that you guys give me is this okay? Paul says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That it? Okay, go back. Go back, Steve, to the first part of that three. Okay. Paul put stock in the scriptures. His info, what the Word of God has said, that's what he's going to base his life work on. He's going to give his life to it. So just looking at according to the scripture, not according to mankind, not according to what he think, she think, or this great teacher think, but according to scripture is the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's the reason why I preach the Word of God, because when you hear it, I want you to say, Brother Danny, according to the scriptures, not according to Leroy. See, according to this. You can say the same thing. But you can't say that if I never use this. I don't care how much of a silver tongue a man got and how he can make you rock, make you jump the pew and, oh, did he preach? Oh, glory! But what I want to know, did he preach the scriptures? See, Paul said, according to the scriptures. You know, my trade was, I was an inside machinist at the air station. And we would get our information, our blueprints, if you want to say, and whatever we would get, how to make this part. And the tolerance and everything had to be in tolerance. But now, once you make this part, it's going to QA. QA is going to check behind you. But not only is your part going to QA, but the specs are put in the package, they're going too. QA is going to check the part you made according to the specs. See, not according to what you said you did. They're going to check it out. They're going to pull the specs out. They're going to look at it, the tolerance, how it's supposed to be done, how it's supposed to be heat treated. Everything from the programmer is on those specs, how it should be done. Now, when they find out you didn't do it according to the specs, then they're going to reject it. And that part is killed. No good. And you may get written up for that. Are you with me? We need to have everything as a believer according to the scriptures. Now, you got your opinion. I got my opinion. Guess what? Your opinion just as good as my opinion. Huh? I'm not going to argue that point. We don't have to believe just a lot on certain things. Your opinion is just as good as mine. You know, if you want a red carpet, that's your opinion. And I want a purple carpet. That's my opinion. Nothing wrong with that. But don't make your opinion scripture. See, your opinion is not according to scripture. Your opinion and my opinion is according to our flesh. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to give you some depth in why we preach the Bible, because what you receive from the pulpit should be according to the scripture. And even if I don't even know the scripture that good, at least try to fool me, preacher. You at least have a Bible up here. Because now I'm hooked on according to the scripture. If Paul is hooked on it, and that man was sold out for Jesus, he's directing us to the Word of God. But watch this. Not only was Paul hooked on it, guess who else was? Jesus Christ, baby. Matthew chapter 4. Huh? When Satan tried to tempt them, he pointed us to the Word of God. Man, that's why I love the Word of God, because my Christ loved the Word of God. Am I right about it, somebody? Hey, Steve, is it too much problem for you to put Matthew chapter 4 up for me? Can you get it up for me? Man, I tell you the truth, I got some help in the house. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into, now you know, he led by the Spirit, but he was full of the Holy Ghost then. Yes, 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 you led. See, when you're full of the Spirit of God, he leads you. He control you. Huh? I'm not going the way I used to go or saying the things you would say for that minute. Because right now I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But you let me not be. If I see you tomorrow and I'm not full of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you where to go, how to get there, and then no. Because I'm not filled. I'm not led at this moment. You ain't always led. Not saying you don't want to be, but we're in the house of God now. Today's Sunday. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Go ahead on. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God," man, look here. "Command that these stones become bread." So you can prove to me the Son of God when you command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, There it is. Jesus Christ, uplift the word of God. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." You see, so Doris, when I sit here and I preach from the word of God, if you keep this in mind, you'll come to a point when you come to church. See, I don't have my headpiece, that's why I'm getting this noise. You'll look for the word of God. You will desire the word of God. You'll feel empty if you leave not with the word of God. Because Jesus Christ, he say, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, I know the word of God proceeded out of the mouth of God, meaning that it is inspired. God breathed. So now that I know it's God breathed, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Now give me some scripture. I know what it's going to do for me. It's profitable for me. So you make sure, Pastor, you give me my dose of scripture. See, when I go to my doctor, he going to write me a prescription for my doses of medicine because it's good for my physical body. And I go to my doctor looking for him to prescribe the right amount, the right doses, the right medicine, huh? And how many times to take it, because that's his expertise. But when I come to the house of God, my soul waits for my dose of scripture. Because my inner man, the new me, craves, long for to taste of the word of God. I taste and see how good Jesus is. I ain't had none of this written down. Let me get back to what I got written down. Ain't God good, y'all? Huh? If you're going to come to church, you should know why you come. And see, now that you're a theologian, but when you give somebody stuff, "Hey, amen, why were you in church today?" "Well, you know, I was there today because I need to get my dose of scripture. I get my dose of everything else. And it don't do me no good." And also see that Jesus Christ point me to what's written. And my pastor preached what's written. Sometimes we don't like that teaching, We want the hooting and hollering and him turning flips. I'm too old for that now. Should have got me when I was 20. I break these legs now. I don't know what they ever heal. Nah, I ain't doing no jumping off no pulpit. I know one man did that stuff to call him Batman. And Batman ain't been walking right since. You know, this stuff is funny, but it's true. That's the thing down in Blackwater, Batman. But you know, it's sad because I wanted to go see him, see if he was still jumping. That wasn't right, was it? Yeah. Now, a preacher friend of mine. Now, I'm saying this now. It is some funny stuff out here, but you'd be surprised at the people that's been hoodwinked, and they love that kind of stuff. A friend of mine was telling me that they had this one preacher, so I don't know him, but he said, if you come to church, he's going to dance and get the pastor to dance with him. And he went to this brother church, and the way he is, I know he won't get, if he got him to dance, it'd have been a miracle. He said, that's the last time he danced in here. And I'm saying, you know, it's some crazy stuff going on. Okay, y'all stop. But I got to help myself through this. I got to laugh sometime, y'all. I have to smile. Okay. That's good there, Steve. Okay. So we see that he died for our sins. Okay, we are saved from the power of sins. Let's look at Romans 7, 24 and 25. Romans 7, the power of sin. Steve, you're on about, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this too. You know why we always talk about Jesus Christ? Because he's the one who paid it all. See, you can use the word God in a generic way that I don't know what God, which God you're talking about. You see, folk don't have, because see, you could be talking about the little G God and just say God. You know, because you know, we live in a world now where people say there's no absolutes. Am I right about it? You know, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Huh? But Jesus says that he is the truth, the life, the way. Huh? And I'm just crazy enough to believe Jesus. Now, you believe what you want to believe out there. But I'm going to believe Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Huh? He's not just a way. He's the only way. All right? Okay, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. There's that struggle. But you see, you thank God that God is not through with us yet. Huh? See, don't come to a point that you stop growing in your faith. Don't come to a point you don't even want to grow in your faith. You don't even care about growing in your faith. You may be just looking for the next material blessing from the Lord. Now, I'm looking to get me a blessing from him, but I'm not. Watch this. When I grow, and we all want a blessing from God. We all do. Don't sit here like you don't want nothing. There. Oh, yeah, they want a blessing. I want one too. But watch this. But as I grow, I become a blessing to God. So it makes sense. If I want a blessing from God, I can grow in my walk to be a blessing to God. I believe if I would be a blessing to God, it may help me to get a blessing from God. Say it won't hold anything from those that walk upright. Come on, y'all. So, man, I'm telling you. Let me go on. Okay. So save for the power sin. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:51-57.
Did I give you that, Steve?
Okay. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Okay? But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised corruptible. Huh? Wait a minute. I died corruptible. I was buried corruptible. Because God didn't eradicate this flesh. So when I died encased in this flesh. But my soul was in glory, but this flesh was buried corruptible. But watch this though. Be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Go ahead on. For this corruptible. Okay? So there's no way I'm gonna get all the sin out of this old nature. If God didn't eradicate it, ain't nothing I can do with that old nature. All right? And have affected my body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Okay? And this mortal must put on immortality. So that change is a change from corruptible to incorruptible, is a change from mortality to immortality. So that which was buried in the grave as a believer, not going to be what's going to get out. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Keep going on, brother. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. Sin stung us. And the strength of sin is the law. The law showed you was a sinner. But thanks, say it with me. But thanks. See, I like that conjunction. Because to tell me a change is coming after the but. Huh? Yeah, you did this, but God forgave me. You had a hard time, but God delivered me. I was going down for the third time, but God kept me. But God. Somebody say, but God. You got some situations and you need to say, but God. You got some times you may want to give up, but you need to say, but God. You need to have a but God in your vocabulary. You don't know tomorrow if you're not going through it today. Keep living. You don't know what you may face. You may not know what you face on your way home. But you carry with you but God. Huh? If you go home and your house is burnt down and in pain and tears are rolling down your face, but you need to leave here, but God. But God kept me from being home during the time of this inferno. But God had me listening to the word of God. But God saved me and spared me. I can get another house. The insurance can pay for it. But God spared my life. Gave me another opportunity while he's working on me, working through me, working for me, working with me. Oh, but God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You can't have victory and you ain't got Christ. Am I right about it? Don't tell me you got Buddha. Huh? You got Joseph Smith. You got all of these false gods and false prophets, and you tell me you got victory. Victory is only in Jesus Christ. So when you got Christ, don't act like you ain't got no victory. I'm here to tell you, baby, if you got Jesus, you got victory. Because he ain't nothing but putty victory. Now, you may not know it. And I'm trying to tell you, so you can know. But don't tell somebody you got Jesus and ain't got no victory. You ain't got my Jesus. My Jesus ain't nothing but victory. Death can't hold him. Satan can't do nothing with him. Y'all can think them demons are bad if you want to. You about to read the story about the begging demons. If you're that bad, you don't beg nobody to let you go. Don't put you in the pit. Wait a minute, demon. You guys supposed to be bad. Now you're begging. Who you begging? That's Jesus, man. And we ain't that stupid. Now, we can act big and bold to you guys, but when Jesus show up, we bow. Huh? See, they didn't ask that man that they possess, the legion possess, can we get in you? Oh, no, you didn't. You went on in him. Caused all kind of havoc. But while it wasn't time to come out, you asked, where can we go? Where will you let us go? I see some pigs up there. Can we go in the pigs? Can you give us permission? See, we can't go on our own. See, if you saw the pig, that was your out, wasn't it? Y'all about to look at these. Y'all about to take these scriptures. You about to get your dose of scripture today. You about to get your dose. Parker, it makes sense to you that bad to do this man the way you did him. It is a legion of you. It is many. Now. And you see the pigs. Why are you still asking Christ to give you permission to go in the pig? You don't need no, you big bad. See, I got to watch who you asking permission to. And then when I find out, he's my God, my Savior, the love of my soul. What's wrong with me? See, there's a lot of info we don't know about the goodness of God in our life. So therefore, we struggle when we don't have to because you don't know him as you ought. Tell me, don't come get my dose. No, you stay here and go and get mine. Well, I got to have this because this is a little different. This is spiritual. This is powerful. You see, our warfare against Satan is not carnal. You can't use them earthly bullets. You need some spiritual weapons, baby. Give me my dose of scripture. Why are you going to church? You tell my nephew, Grant. You say, baby, why you get up? Go. So I'm going to get my dose of scripture. I got to go to work. I go through some things. I got to travel. I got to pray. Me and my sister are going to get our dose of scripture. And I tell you what, it's good. I learned today it's victory. I know when I go back home, if you're still there on the computer, if I come there, I know it was the grace of God that kept you while I was away. Hey. Hallelujah, y'all. My God, my God. See, we got to know what we got. See, you never walk out on faith. You never get out of the boat if you don't realize you already got the victory. Too many of us are looking for what we already got. Why don't you proclaim it? Why don't you stand on the promises and get off the premises? Stand up. Stop slouching. Stand up. Accept your victory in Christ. No, who I was, where I come from, is where I'm going, baby. Huh? Along the way, Jesus called me, Raroni. Me? Yeah. Are you talking about him? So they're great people. You don't want me, I can't do that. He said, I know you can't do nothing, but can you obey me? Now, I can do that. He said, I want to do it. I just, see, too many times we think God wants our abilities. But baby, he wants your availability. Too many of us, God will do what he will do because he got all power in his hand. But you won't avail yourself to be used by him. And those frail folk who say, okay, God, if you can use me, he said, well, I can. Because I like your attitude. It's one of humility. See, God says, I will exalt the humble in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Oh, man, I got to get my dose of scripture, y'all. Because if Christ point to the scriptures and tell Satan about what the word of God said, we need to do the same thing. You see, he is the word, John 1:1. In the beginning was God. And what else? Huh? And the word was God. See, he's the Logos. Huh? The word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, you can't get away from the word. And then he said, the Holy Ghost made you overseer. Feed my flock. What I'm going to feed them? No. I didn't tell you to, you ain't going to grow this to feed them. Feed them the word. Take the word. Feed them. That we may grow. Because there's so much against us. And so much that's going on. And God wants us to rejoice in the Lord. He came to give us the abundant life. And many of us are not enjoying the abundant life. I'm not saying hurt ain't going to come. Sorrow not going to come. That's not what I'm saying. But why do I major on the sorrow, the hurt, and the circumstances that's adverse to me? Why do I major on that and I miss what I have? I think every now and then when a circumstance comes your way, and it's real, don't nickname it, but I think you need to take one of the blessings you got and put it beside it. Another one come. Take the blessing you got. Don't always just count your miseries. But count your blessing one by one. Because we need to see what God has done. We'll be saved one day. Getting up, going to see him in the air. I tell you, let me come on off now because y'all been good. Philippians 3. My God, my God. Whoa. You know, some smart people. I don't believe that alone. Let me listen. I'm not even going. I go there next week, God say. No, because I ought to start chasing that rabbit. Because they can say some smart stuff. Woo! and the thing. When I didn't know no better, because I didn't know no better, they would say that religious stuff, and I didn't know whether I believed it or not, but I didn't know. But when I found out that mess was off the wall, don't let nobody play with your soul. You heard me say that over and over and over again. I joke and stuff like that, but I don't play with your soul. My happiness is because of a truth that's coming from the Word of God. The truth make me happy. It don't just set me free. Okay. Y'all been pretty good. As Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, verse 17, right on through 21, he said, brethren, join in following my example. Now, what I want you to know, this falls in the category of sanctification, practical sanctification, living something, living like Christ. So he do expect us to live like Christ, not like the world. So he do expects that, okay? So Paul is saying, but what I want you to know, he says, follow my example. Paul not saying he's perfect. And that's something that we don't want to start thinking, because at this time that he's speaking this, his flesh is not eradicated neither. Then if you go back and read Romans chapter 7, that's Paul speaking there. You know, but here it is now. All of us are imperfect. Okay? But some have grown a little bit in their walk than others. So Paul is saying, though I'm imperfect, there are some things I have conquered in my walk. Okay? So because I have, look at me. Because, see, sometimes we need to see somebody in shoe leather. Yeah. You can talk about the Holy Ghost and all that. Yeah, but I need to see what the Holy Ghost is doing in your action, in your life, in your lifestyle. Am I right about it? That's why he said, follow me. Now, if you guys thought I was a low-down, dirty crook and no good, some of y'all wouldn't have been here 28 years. See, the pastor don't get breaks, the people get. And I understand why not. My brother told me that. He said some crazy things, but he was right about that. He said, man, as a congregation, we can do what we want to do, and everybody going to bend over back. We'll try to get us back in church, and this and that, and glad to see you when you come. He said, well, bro, I don't mess with you no more, because you know, you the man of God. Because he said, I don't have to leave my couch. If you fall into sin, he said, I'm going to hear about it. And you don't get that love of come on back and let's do all that. That's it for you. You know, I guess he's basically talking about disposition. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now here's the thing. And I understand that. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. Because even what we're looking at, he said, brethren, join in following me, imitating me. Okay, acting like me, all right? And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Wow, wow, wow. Man, you know, some of us is very afraid to say that, a pattern, because we ourselves know our pattern is not pretty. Some of them is awful. A pattern of a Christian. We do what we want, we justify what we want, and we say, if God give me grace, I'm gonna do it again. But not realizing you are a pattern. Now, what am I seeing with your pattern? Are you consistent in your pattern? Now, y'all want me to keep with the word? It amazed me the pastor's supposed to be a pattern. And they talk about a pastor like a dog. Like he ain't got to eat or nothing. But the congregation ain't being about no pattern. If I come or don't come, or if I do my thing, it's okay. God is happy. No, he's not. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something else from what we're looking at. It tells me, because there's a lot of things that's not in the scriptures, but a Christian pattern is in the scripture, right? We're reading it. Now, if God give you a pattern, he expects a little bit more out of you if you got an example than someone who don't have an example. You know, sometimes people say that about households. Well, you know, they ain't got no example over there. They're a little loose. Their daddy drinks with the children, and the children drink with him. And you know, they cuss him out. He cussed them out. And so ain't no pattern over there. Come on, y'all. The children raising the parents. Ain't no pattern over there. Well, so what are you saying? So if you got a pattern, that means that won't go on? Let me go. Anybody still with me? I haven't lost nobody, have I? Okay, let me go on with this now.
Oh, is already you gonna keep it on the board for me?
Okay. All right. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Man, I'm crying, you know. I'm crying and telling you guys this thing. You know, this is one of his prison epistles. He says that they are the enemies of the cross. Man, don't follow those that's enemy of the cross. I don't care what kind of sweet-smelling words they got and all that kind of stuff. This thing is more than a silver tongue deal. This is a walk deal. He says, whose end is destruction? Whose God? There's a little G I was telling you about. That ain't our God, by the way. Our God, the big G, Sheila. So a few of y'all heard me say the little G. Now you see it. All right? But he ain't talking about Christ now. He ain't talking about Jehovah. Am I right about it? He's talking about them Judaizers. Okay, he said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Good God Almighty. Who set their mind on earthly things. Now, this is where we got the problem. You and I, when we're born again, we are still in the earth, but we're not of the earth. So God is saying, yes, I left you in the earth, but I don't want you to be of the earth. And if you're not careful, you're going to act as though and walk as though you are of this earth. You're going to think earthly. You're going to walk earthly. You're going to do earthly. He said, but I'm going to destroy this earth, and I'm going to give you a new heaven and a new earth. But let's go on. He said, all right, there it is. Right now, baby. For our citizenship is where? In heaven. Paul said, I'm going to tell you, I know you on earth, but your citizenship is really in heaven right now. If you look at the register in heaven, your name is there, baby, right now. Right now. See, he's talking to them down here. He said, but your citizenship is in heaven. So you don't owe no allegiance to this earthly citizenship that tell you to do, watch what I'm saying now, to do things against God. That's what I'm speaking about. Not your civic duties. Don't get me wrong now. Don't leave out here. Say everything I say now. I'll bring them back to me and I can break it down, what I said. For our citizenship is in heaven, watch this now, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Wait a minute. Then he say in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and I'll receive you too. He went home in heaven, our who? Savior. Now it tells me, and I know he's seated on the right hand side of God, interceding for me. From heaven, he's interceding for me. But watch this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. See, we're waiting for the second coming. We are waiting for the rapture. We are waiting for my Savior. All right? The Lord, and you know what? We'll tell you his name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his, watch this, glorious body. Watch this. Look at that exchange. Look at that transfer. Transferring us from a lowly body, you need to highlight that, to the glorious body. It's lowly now, but baby, you wait till my Savior fix me up. Oh, you wait. You think the pretty bride, Kiara, the way she looked coming down that aisle, beautiful woman, and her daddy, and his navy whites, chief. Stern, military, walking down there with his daughter, and I'm waiting right here. Huh? Come on. I'm seeing it all, and I'm cutting my eye at the sisters, tears rolling down. Beauty. But don't you know, heaven and the marriage to the we the bride of Christ. Huh? We the bride of Christ, y'all. We the bride of Christ. And that glorious body, Paula. Watch this. See, right now I got this old lowly body. You know, anything like that. But they ain't all on one. But at, before that marriage supper, I'm gonna be decked down in holiness from head to toe. It's called a glorious chiller. And if Christ gonna make it glorious, how glorious he is. And where he at home, the streets are gold and the gates of pearl. Y'all talk to me now. Not that tainted gold, pure gold. You ain't seen this type. Oh, when he dressed his bride. Oh, oh, oh. Woo. Mm-mm-mm. Ah, man, I got, oh, I'm glad I'm stopping right here. I know I can contain this. You let them know, say, why y'all go to church? Then I get my dose of scripture. Now, I just want to go to hear the choir and hear them shout. Y'all got it wrong. Have you ever tasted the scriptures in such a way that you got to have some more? It's just like that that cake that Sister Doris fixed. You taste it, you're going to want some more. It says, who will transfer our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his, watch this, conformed to his glorious body. Where are you getting it from? Christ, his glorious body. You're going to look like Christ. According to the working by which he is what? Able. You need to say he is able, baby. See, I know I'm going to get it because he's able to do it. And this is what I like about it, Sister Jean. Not only is he able to suit me up, ain't nobody able to stop him. Can't nobody jump in there. I wouldn't put that on him. You don't know what he did. Look, wait, dummy, I know everything. There's nothing I don't know. I'm omniscient. Know it all. Knowing what I know, that's why I saved them before the foundation of the world. Don't make me hit you. How long they been saved? They just in there and see that they are saved. Oh my God. Some of y'all got that, and some of y'all are gonna take some time. Which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. My Lord, my Lord. So you can say this, number one, I was saved from the penalty of sin when I first trusted Christ as my Savior. I didn't tarry for this. It happened instantly. Okay? I'm not waiting for the Holy Ghost. As my Savior. Number two, I am in process of being saved from the practice of sin. I haven't arrived, so don't be so hard on me. I'm in the process. But guess what? You're in the process too. And number three, and someday, this day we're talking about, someday, I will be saved from the very presence of sin. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. My God, my God, my God. See, we don't need to just say we churchgoers. I mean, the world can do that. If I'm going to go, give me something. I'm going to give you something you can take with you. Now, let me say this. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking about you went to church, but you're not even sure whether you're born again. Now watch this. And this is what I mean. All I got, according to the Bible, I'm saved. Now I'm not dealing with nothing else. If you ask me, are you saved, Pastor Rick? According to the word of God. What the word of God told me to do to get saved, I did it. So according to the word of God. Not according to the mourner's bench. Not according to running around the building seven times. Or being baptized by Bishop Sounding Brass made me saved. No, according to the scripture. If Jesus said according to the scripture, it's all right, baby, for me to say according to the scripture. According to the scriptures, I'm saved. So that's what you want to know. You want to know open that Bible up according to the Bible, whatever the Bible dictates for me to do to be saved, I need to know, and I stand on all that other stuff you were talking about. I don't know anything about it, but according to the Bible, I'm saved.